Don't you know we've come this far?
Welcome to the History of Christianity podcast with Daniel White the Thorn. My name is Sneaqua Grace White, and I am the fourth oldest daughter of Daniel White the Thorn. We are glad that you have joined us today as Daniel White the Thorn helps believers understand the basics of Christian history.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the History of Christianity podcast, episode number 121. When I became a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ some 35 years ago, I somehow had the false idea that Christianity began when I got saved. I had no concept of the hundreds of years of history that Christianity had gone through since the time of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ some 2,000 years ago when he walked on this earth. I have found that many believers, young and old, have the same false idea. The purpose of this broadcast, of this podcast, is to dispel this notion by sharing with listeners the history of Christianity from the ministry of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ all the way up until the present day in an easy-to-understand format. You don't have to worry. This is not a lecture. This is a look at the basic facts and figures of Christian history that I believe every believer and every person needs to be aware of. Our History of Christianity scripture passage from the Holy Bible today is Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 through 11, which reads, "Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Our History of Christianity quote today is from Paul Manwaring. He said, "Perhaps you face something that is tempting you to take a more leisurely path through life when an invitation to get up and climb is staring you in the face. The battle will be in the mind, even though it will likely manifest in the flesh. Your temptation to resign is, in fact, your invitation to write history." Last time, beloved, in the history of Christianity, we looked at the Arian controversy and the Council of Nicaea, part 6. Today, by the grace of God, in the history of Christianity, we are looking at the pagan reaction, Julian the Apostate, part 1, from Dr. Justo L. Gonzalez's fine book, The Story of Christianity, volume 1. And I want to remind you, beloved, to take advantage of our special offer, and even if you don't take advantage of our offer, please go somewhere and buy this book. If you enjoy this podcast, please feel free to purchase a copy of the book that we are using, The Story of Christianity, Volume 1, by Dr. Justo L. Gonzalez. The book is available on our website for just $38. Julian had many reasons to dislike both Constantius and the Christian faith that he professed. At the time of Constantine's death, most of the dead emperor's close relatives had been massacred. The only notable exceptions were the three brothers who inherited the throne and their cousins Julian and his older half-brother Gallus. The circumstances in which these crimes were committed are not altogether clear, and therefore it might be unfair to lay the blame on Constantius. It is clear that after Constantine's death, there was some question as to who would succeed him, and that the army then killed most of his relatives, not in order to set up another dynasty, but rather in order to make sure that power would belong indisputably to Constantine's three surviving sons. Of these, only Constantius was then in Constantinople, where the massacre took place, and for that reason the common opinion was that he had ordered or at least condoned the death of his relatives. Whatever the case may be, Julian was convinced that his cousin was guilty. Julian's father was a half-brother of Constantine, and therefore Julian was a first cousin to the three new emperors. Of Julian's vast family, only he and his half-brother Gallus survived. He later declared that Gallus was spared because he appeared to be mortally ill at the time, and that Julius himself was allowed to live because he was only 6 years old and thus was no threat to the throne. It is possible that Constantius himself ordered that these two cousins be spared, for they were too young to lead a rebellion, and if Constantine's three sons died without issue, these younger cousins could provide an orderly succession to the throne. Meanwhile, both Gallus and Julian were kept away from the court. While Gallus devoted himself to physical exercise, his younger brother became increasingly interested in philosophical studies. Both were baptized and received Christian instruction, and during their exile from court, both were made readers of the church. Eventually, Constantius had to call on Gallus, for in 350 CE, he had become sole ruler of the empire, and they use CE, I still use BC and AD, but the book has CE. Eventually, Constantius had to call on Gallus, for in 350 AD, he had become sole ruler of the empire, and he had no children who could aid him in government or succeed him to the throne. In 351 AD, Constantius gave Gallus the title Caesar, that is, of junior emperor, and put vast territories under his rule. But Gallus did not turn out to be an able ruler, and there were rumors that he was conspiring against his cousin. A few years after having made him Caesar, Constantius had him arrested and beheaded. Beloved, next time we will continue looking at the pagan reaction, Julian the Apostate, Part 2. Holy Father God, help us to learn from this very interesting and exciting Christian history. Help us to learn to do the good. Help us not to repeat the bad. And help us to continue this history by doing things ourselves, such as winning as many souls as possible and bringing down power through prayer to you. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and for his sake. Amen. Now, dear friend, simply knowing the facts about Christian history without knowing the one on whom this faith is based will do you no good. If you do not believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, may I encourage you to get to know him today. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Simply believe in your heart that the Lord Jesus Christ died for your sins. He shed his blood for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead by the power of God for you, so that you can be a part of the church in this life, and in the life to come, live in heaven forever with God. Pray and ask him to come into your heart today to save your soul, and he will do so. Romans 10:13 says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Until next time, my beloved, please remember that history is truly his story. God bless you.